Blog Talk Radio.
We're on Blog Talk Radio. On Facebook. Thank you all so much for tuning in with us and for everybody okay. I hope everybody is good. You know, hope everybody is good. Block Talk, how y'all doing? Facebook Live people, how y'all doing? Okay. You know, this is your girl Ofeofe, and you know, I'm here checking out everything. Even my glasses look a little blurry right now. I'm like, oh. Let me kind of clean up my glasses a little bit. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. I see somebody joined me on the live. All right. Yay. That's what we're talking about. Queen Pharaoh, Ashe, how you doing? How you doing? Yes. Thank you for joining. Thank you for joining. So we're going to be talking about, And when we talk about Obie, you know, I mean, a lot of people, you know, think Obie is one thing and think Obie is the next thing. And I ran across so many different where people are calling Obie a religion too. I, you know, I ran across so many things. But in, according to the dictionary, right, which one? Oxford Languages, you know, I like to use Oxford. And Oxford is saying that Obeah is a kind of sorcery, especially in the Caribbean, you know. So, you know, you would hear people say things like, he knows the value of my power of Obeah. Now, you know, where we don't actually speak like that. You know, Caribbean people, Caribbean people don't speak like that. But there are four different books that I mentioned on Obeah. One is called the Book of Obeah. Okay? Yeah, they got books, I mean, a lot of books on Obeah, okay? By different people. The other one is called the Obeah Bible people, okay? The Obeah Bible, okay? Now, you know, we're going to talk about Obeah Christianity too. And then there's another one called just Obeah, period, is the title. And this is a very old book. It was written in 18 something, right? And that book is called Obeah, Witchcraft in the West Indies. Woo, buddy. You know, and of course, you know, the invaders then, that they were the ones that wrote the book. As a matter of fact, the book is written by Hesketh J. Bell in 1889. Okay? Yeah, that's an old book. I think it's out of print. But, you know, you guys can look, you know, there's a site called Forgotten Books, and you can look there and find that and many, many other books. right? So we got Obia by Hesketh J. Bell. So we got this, all of these different books. I mean, a whole bunch of books, guys. A whole bunch of books. People saying different things about, you know, what they think Obia is and everything. Now, even the people that live in the Caribbean, they too have a misconception about what is Obia, okay? Came across something, and that's what made me want to do this episode. I came across where some people were talking, they were comparing Obia to the Orishas. You know, I think it was entitled Obia and the Orishas, yeah. And they linked it to what is called the Seven African Powers. Now, I want to touch on some stuff here that I think is a bunch of poppycock, you know, if y'all want to call it that, you know, horse manure, whatever. Boo, 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 boo. You know what? Boo, boo, boo. You know what I mean? Because I don't know what these people are saying, but, you know, I just want to get some input about these things. I mean, you know, what do you think Obia really is? Well, anyway, this is entitled the paper. The little write-up is entitled Obia and Orisha, the Seven African Powers by somebody entitled The Wandering. I don't know, The Wandering. Like wandering off, not wandering in your mind, but wandering off, you know what I mean? And then part of the paper, some of the information in the paper is also by someone, where they got the information from was a source called In Natural Wealth, The Gods of African Diaspora. And then we have in highlighted Gnosis, like Gnosis, issue 28. So there's like a publication called Gnosis. And this is back in the summer of 1993. I hope by now even the people that read this would have gone on and dig more and found out more about what Obia really is. But I'm going to go through a few things that this is by Nisi Shawl. That's who wrote the original article on In Natural Wealth, The Gods of African Diaspora, right? And you know, I always say, you know, when you read things, you got to dig, read, question, and then use your common sense. You know? So, anyway, generally speaking, right, they said, the most common manifestation of Obia found today, although maybe not practiced on an individual basis, is blended with Orisha worship. Obia is blended with Orisha worship. Well, yeah, a lot of people do think that Obia and Orisha things are the same thing. A lot of people do think like that, you know. And it says, Orisha is a monotheistic faith brought to the Americas via the slave trade and most commonly associated with Yoruba, right? And then they says the two main factions of Orisha is in the New World, spiritual Orisha. No, I never hear it. This is my first time hearing spiritual Orisha. And Baptist Orisha. Okay, what is spiritual Orisha? You know, I know I've heard of Baptist Orisha worship. You know, they do that in Shango, in Trinidad and Tobago. They call it Shango Baptist, where elements of Christianity is involved in the Orisha practice. But they're saying here that both spiritual Orisha and Baptist Orisha, both of which are on the surface, carry a heavy Christian ring or appearance about them. Now, I don't know, what is spiritual Orisha? Is spiritual Orisha like when somebody go and get a statue of Santa Barbara and then say, you know, that's basically... well, in some respects, the Santeria, but the Santeria people still go and you know, get the actual secrets. You know, they have the actual secrets of, you know, from West Africa of how, you know, Orisha is consecrated. So they don't have a statue and then they just call the statue the Orisha. And I always discourage people to do that when you have, you know, these emblems of the Orisha. That does not mean that you have Orisha. You have a statue of an Orisha. Unless that emblem for some reason is loaded. When I say loaded, like a gun. Loaded, meaning prepared like how they do, like in the Congo tradition, how they do the impakas, you know, these devices that they have the same secrets as the prenda, as the pot, right? Okay, and you know, and unless your statue is loaded like that. And, you know, I don't know, you know, people practice different ways, you know what I'm saying? You know, people practice different ways. So it could be that, you know, the spiritual Orisha is, you know, I don't know. People just saying they have Orisha and everything, you know. I don't know if you all saw, got to hear my show on self-initiation, okay, versus initiation by others. You know, you should go and take a listen to that. Because, you know, I was like tearing down the self-initiation thing. I had to say tearing it down because there, you know, that's not how it works. It don't work like that with the self-initiation, you know, going to the cosmos in your mind and going to the water and then boom, 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 and you meet the Orisha in the sun and all this thing. You know, you know, when we call it traditions, we call it tradition. But anyway, this is not about Orisha. It's about Obia, right? So, Obia, on the other hand, they're saying is not a religion, right? I agree with that. It's not a religion in the classical sense. That is to say that there are no meeting places such as churches, mosques, synagogues, and other religious buildings or shrines. Well, you know, back in the day, you know, when things were hot, and you had to run away as a slave or hide as a slave, you had to go meet somewhere to do your thing. So, you know, some people used to do actually meet up and do things together, you know. So, you know, and we have different books on about these things that are written by people in the Caribbean, people from the Caribbean who actually went through these things and their ancestors went through living with the idea of Obia, you know, living with the essence of Obia. And, you know, I could say, if I had to say what Obia is, I would say Obia is innate, is gifted behavior, is gifted. I mean, either you can do it or you can't do it, you know? You know, like people who have the tongue, right? That if they tell you something, boom, 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 next thing you know, it happens to you, especially if it's a negative thing. If they tell you, listen, next thing you know, that's what happened, okay? And so Obia, to me, is not basically religion. I think Obia is more connected with your destiny of who you are, part of who you are. You know, especially when it comes to like your location, you know, where you grew up, what the customs and traditions of where you came from. That's why almost everybody in the islands in the Caribbean know about Obia. And I came across an article saying that Obia came from Egypt. I don't know if it's the same article. I don't know, you know, how they come to say Obia came from Egypt. But listen, so then it's saying that, okay, so you don't have no churches, no mosques, no synagogues, no religious buildings, no shrines, and nothing like that, right? Okay? Like, for instance, okay, I don't know if you guys can see. This is my ancestral altar right here next to me. Let me put this down a minute. Where am I? Are you guys seeing me? Facebook. Okay, so this is right here, right? You see that broom? You see that broom right there standing up? Okay? That's an Obia emblem. Okay? That is an Obia emblem. That is something that certain Caribbean houses, when you go, you will see the broom standing upside down in the corner. Okay? And even though it has something to do with entities, you know, something like the EME, it is not the same thing. It don't have the same purpose. We're not jumping into the EME thing, you know, or the witches, you know. We're not jumping into that. And, you know, of course, in paganism, they have the witch symbolized with the broom, riding a broom and all of this type of thing. But, you know, when you see it upside down like that, it's to keep certain negative energies and certain type of energies away. So it's not, you know, as for the wickedness, as people say. And, you know, frankly, if I had to say again, what is Obia, I would say that Obia is, in some respects, because it's connected to the person's destiny, that Obia is a protective device. Okay? It's a protective element. It's an innate knowing. It is something that you come with, okay, that you can do just naturally, that you don't need, you know, to go and study, you know, and in order to know how to do it. And it comes directly from your Ori and not from, you know, any other deity or any other thing. It comes even through your DNA, your blood, your family, okay? And then, like for instance, in the Caribbean, where I come from, okay, when somebody trouble you and you want to be, like, you want to challenge them, since you know they trouble you, you know, and you know you want to challenge them, you're going to say, I can walk a wanga on you. Okay? I will work a wanga on you. Now, wanga means they're going to deal with you with obe. The wanga is the obe. Right? So they're going to walk a wanga on you. Right? And you're going to be like, oh, my God. You know what I mean? You might want to go try to do a wanga first or do something else to protect yourself or something. That's why people want to talk about it going to the Obey man and the Obey woman, because half the time it involves some injustice. Okay? And you almost understand injustice. Obey is not this wicked thing, you know, like how a lot of people portray it to be. It's not this injustice thing. Another good example, and, you know, I'm going to get back to the paper in a second, but another good example is, say you plant up your yard, right? You know, you're working hard, everything ready to reap and everything. Here comes somebody now, take your products, okay? But they didn't know that you already set up your yard, okay, so that if anybody take your product, something gonna happen to them bad. Either they have a big foot swell up as soon as they go there, all of a sudden, next thing you know, their foot swell up big, and they want to know what happened, okay? Things like that, okay? Either they drop down dead after like a couple of days, you know, or something go inside of their foot and they can't get it out, you know, and then next thing you know, the foot rotten off and things. Those type of things are like, listen, follow the moral code. When you went in this far, in your property, in your thing to reap, it's not yours. So why? right? So this is how, you know, people used to, you know, especially back in the day, how people used to do. Now today everybody just like, when they do Obe, they want to mix it with voodoo, they want to mix it with Orisha, they want to mix it with everything, and then still call it Obe. I love your Shani, my beautiful people. How y'all doing? Look at my people I'm representing. Ashe. Can you do YouTube also? I was trying my day. I never did YouTube before. I always put the videos afterward. I would record the videos and then upload them to YouTube. I never did a live on YouTube yet. I'm going to try one day, Hassan. I want to try. I'm going to see how it works. So, yeah, he says it's easy. Okay, it's easy to do and it's better to watch. Okay, and okay, when you can get Facebook Live, you can get. Okay, I hear you, Hassan, I hear you. Much blessings to you. So anyway, so these type of things is what we're talking about when it comes to Obey being on the up and up instead of, Obey remind me of, like for people that are in Orisha, and I'm going to make reference to the Orisha back and forth, but people are who in the Orisha traditions, like what the of Bonnie stand for in the back in the day. Now it's like a club, you know, a serious club, but still a club. And what my whole goal is to get people to see the very positive things of these African traditions and rituals and things that we do, that we don't always have to be doing using these things for negativity, you know, to harm and hurt somebody, but also to bring back people's morals. Okay, you cannot come to my house and see my money put on here on the table and you pick it up and go with it. Next thing you know, your hand wrapped in up. You see what I mean? These type of things. So even when you come to a spiritual house, it actually puts a kind of fear or a warning, okay, in people's mind that they shouldn't do certain things, and they'd be scared to do it. I once saw a video, a Nigerian video skit, a skit about a young fellow and a young woman going to get married, right? So the young fellow, you know, he had a diviner there. And, you know, they had a truth or a lie thing, like something that could tell you, if you tell the truth, you know, you can't hide it. You can't hide it, the truth. So anyway, they calculate, they do the man first, how much person he sleep with before the marriage, right? So it starts going, you know, ding, 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 ding. It went to like 18 or something, right? And everybody looking at the father, the bride, the father, the bride to be, you know, because they don't have to take the bride price and, you know, all of this stuff to the father, right? To the father, the bride people, you know. So they have the parents of the two people there. So now it's the girl's turn. Oh my God, the thing went up to like 400. The people have get up and run away. The groom, the to be, people get up and run away from there. Okay? Ashe, Lauren, bless you. Bless you, Ashe. Ashe. You know, so they run away. So these are the kind of things, you know, it's about morals. The Obia thing is more about morals because you ain't going, because you don't know people that steal. You don't know people that get jealous and envious. Okay? You don't know people want something, even this thing that go even further. It's had women. Okay, and men. I witnessed one very thing, heavy case I'll never forget, and that's when I was practicing, being a mentor. I was being mentored by my tata in Palo Mayombe, and they had this man. Oh my God, the man looked like he was ready to deliver. Adam 16, excuse the language, people. a 16-pound baby. Okay? And as soon as he come in, you know, his turn to come get a reading, once we do the divination, you know, I went in the room, my tata in there doing the thing. I was doing divination, I had to go and tell everybody, listen, you have to go and come back. Because we got to do an emergency case right now. So we basically had to do an operation on this guy, right? Do different things, get different things from him, you know, the hair from his private, the hair from everywhere, this, sweat, and all kind of thing, right? And then we had to go back to the force and present these things to the force, do some prayers and rituals, do some sacrificial things and whatnot, and we tell the man, we give him something to drink and tell him come back in 3 days. Oh, my God. Third day when the man come back, okay, we have to empty the place again. When we empty the place, you know a big-ass snake came out of that man behind? I mean a big thing. Okay? And he barely went ploop. I said, mm-hmm. But it was something he did, or something that he did wrong to a young woman, and the young woman mother did basically obey to the man, that he would experience the pain of the 9 months carrying a load for 9 months pain, because he was hollering and screaming when that snake was coming out the backside. I don't know, you know, I called it a snake because it was so damn big. It couldn't, that was a worm or something. I don't know what the hell that was, but it was big. And anyway, so I experienced that. Okay? And it all stemmed from him doing an injustice to the girl who was pregnant. And he took her to get her impromptu abortion, you know, like not to the hospital, okay? And you know, and afterward they give her the fetus, and the mother take the fetus and fix it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these kind of things is what people do. And then you see, this is where the fair in the obey and stuff comes from. It comes from the aftermath of the injustice, like the punishment from doing the injustice, okay? So people try to be moral, try to be good, try don't do nobody nothing. Because you have so much women complain, they went and sleep with somebody's husband, and next thing you know, they get something went wrong with their vagina, okay? They sleep with somebody's husband, something went wrong with the vagina. Some of them bleed to death. And then when they say, you know, if you're talking to the Caribbean people, they say, oh, no, my son, the wife don't fix up, you know, her, you know, the wife fixed herself. And next thing you know, this is why we got from it, right? Okay? Be very careful, people. So let's get back to our paper with these people talking in answers. Because I want to tell you all these, you know, foolish misconceptions that people have about Obey and what Obey is and everything, okay? Okay, let me see if I can pull it back up now. Yeah, there you go. So now, so we get past the part of Obey not being a religion and everything, right? Okay. So what they're saying here, Obey is instead a focused application of occult power. You hear that? Tapping the virulent source of God's own essence. Now, you know, and God in it, you know, I think they have more to do with the ancestors, you know, even though, you know, when we look at the word God, God is energy. You know, God is neither he nor she. God is definitely not Jesus, people. Let me tell you all. And, you know, God is this energy, you know, if you want to say it, God is an energy, okay? It's just an encompassing energy, period. Anyway, they say God's own access are employed without sanction to facilitate the induced spell. So it don't have, so you're using your your God power. This is what they're saying. Using your God power with no limits. Ain't got no sanction and you're using your God power because, you know, they can induce a spell. It's just like how you could, you know, you could say something out your mouth and put curses on people. These kind of things, that's an element of Obia too, as people say. You know, you could, you know, but same way you could use your mouth and curse people, you could use your mouth and bless people too. It's the same thing. It's the same energy. You got to mean it, you know? Okay? So then, so now they're saying, although there may be followers, they're scattered. Okay? All right? All right? So here you go now. Okay? Say you can use Obia to cast spells, predict the future, or garner assist on knowledge or knowledge from planes. You could take get knowledge from outside of yourself other than the conventional and implemented through the individual skill, your cunning, your artistry, and everything. They say these are the qualities of an Obia practitioner. Usually beyond the guidelines of traditional witchcraft, sorcery, shamanism, voodoo, or tribal magic. And it's the truth. It's beyond that. It's beyond that because these are things that come in from within. And you don't want to mean, you know, because a lot of times just getting angry, even, you know, head out that day, I got a reading from Ifa. Ifa was telling me, you know, even when if I thinking, you know, a negative thought about somebody, it can affect them, right? And even if you know, I know that about myself, you know, that, you know, if I don't like to dwell too much on, especially if somebody did something to you, if they wronged you in some kind of way, that's the only time you see me start thinking negative. I'm like, you know, they wronged me. But guess what? I'm still functioning, and then when you do that, you put too much energy. So here we go with the energy again, coming from your ori, coming from your consciousness. So you put too much energy into the wrong thing, and then next thing you know, your head bam. So imagine you in your energy thinking, man, I win that mother, this and that would drop down dead, and blah, 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 blah. Next thing you know, they're dead. You see what I mean? So we have to check ourselves and our energy. And that's why when here the other day I put a post up and I said, you know, instead of wasting your energy, you know, thinking about what the wrong that somebody do to you, you should use your energy to create some happiness and some good things in your life, in your own life. With that same energy that you're wasting on this person, because there's nothing going to come good of it. Okay? Especially for the person, nothing going to come good of it. Right? Okay, so here now, this according to sources, the word Obia, what does it mean? How does it work? You know, Obia is thought to be the remnant core of once very powerful and secret religious order originally brought to the greater West Africa areas thousands of years ago from the ancient African civilizations to the East. Okay, there are no references here, people. I'm just letting y'all know this is what the paper is saying. So it comes from these ancient, this is what they say, these ancient civilizations to the East. The priests that brought the hidden core of Obia with them migrated along with a larger general population to ancient Ghana and Nigeria, looking for fertile land and water, established themselves in the region through power and trade. And the centuries wore on, and as the centuries wore on, they found themselves assimilated deeper and deeper into local indigenous cultures, with later generations becoming almost unrecognizable in relation to their Eastern ancestors. In the process of that assimilation, some members continue to hold on to surviving segments of their original religious beliefs. With the new culture picking and choosing, absorbing the casting of bits, and absorbing and casting off of bits and pieces of the once powerful Eastern beliefs, well, what's the Eastern beliefs, creating their own way what has come down to us today. Eventually, the strengths of the religious beliefs diverge, with one track embracing the indigenous tribal healer or root doctor side, with some aspects of what one might consider more conventional shamanism and minor bit of tribal sorcery. And the other branch, increasingly going more and more underground, manifesting itself towards the occult and the darker side, cloaking itself in an even more secret, only to emerge centuries later in the present day, Obia. You know, that's why people, human beings are so warlike, we are warlike people. We just, don't do me anything. Yeah, sometimes you don't even have to do anybody anything. You just, next thing you just look at me funny and, it's a problem. You know, I know people like this right now. You look at somebody and it's harmlessly, and then all of a sudden it's an argument. All of a sudden, what you looking at me for? You know, that kind of thing. I don't know. You know, a lot of us need work with our Ori. You know, we need work with our Ori because it ain't what we think it is. You see what I mean? So here and now you say how much Obia and Orisha are truly intermixed or integrated is not fully known. However, it is known both can stand alone or neither is dependent on the other. In some respects, it is like Zen Buddhism and Buddhism. Okay. Zen to the end. Come again. Okay. Zen may be considered a sect or part of Buddhism, but both Buddhism and Zen in their present form can stand alone without the need of the other. Although similarities abound in both branches, Orisha Baptist, okay, and Orisha is more pure and ancient line of Orisha transmission and accepted blood offerings, okay? And you know, in Obien, Orisha, do that in Orisha, yeah, but in Obien, ain't too much blood offering thing going on. That's not Obien. Obia ain't about blood, ain't too blood. Is any blood coming from your finger? Pop! You know what I mean? Is no blood offering, you're doing nothing with no animal, and you ain't doing, that's not Obia. That's what be voodoo, right? Orisha, Palo, but, not Obia. Okay? So here now, they're saying that they go on to say functioning very that the except for the blood sacrifice released by the blood sacrifice functioning very much like Orisha worship. No, that is not true. It don't function like Orisha worship. You will find almost anywhere in the world. Oh, really? Practitioners of both branches worship one supreme being. Olodumare, okay, yeah, that's true. That's true about Orisha people. Sometimes called Olofi. Mm-hmm. Okay. However, Olodumare Olofi is comprised of various aspects, which are represented by the different forces in nature. The personification of these forces are called Orisha. Okay. Let me just done here with this, because then they're going to describing the Orisha. They ain't saying nothing else about Obia again. You see what I mean? Only unless they're describing the Orisha as the seven African powers. That's what they got here. The spiritual thing with Santa Barbara, Mercedes, Obatala, Nino de Prada, and Saint whoever for the different Orisha, right? Yemoja, Caridad del Cubre, blah 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 blah. But no. So this, you get a big F for this paper right here. Mm-mm. Okay? So that, I'm sorry, people, but that's what I'm talking about. That's what's going on here with these people. That's what's going on here. And that is not, what we want to look at and say is Obia. We don't want to look at things like that and read things like that and think it is obia, right? Okay, so let's look at something else. Okay. I have a few books that I picked up, even the one Obey the West Indies, and I want to challenge this thing from, you know, the East. East. Okay, so if you're looking at the map and it's thousands of years ago, I don't know, you know what I mean? Because the earth shifts around. So if you don't know which area something coming from, because everything shifts around, okay? What was east became west, what was west became east. So I don't know, you know what I mean? But if you're looking at a regular map, right? Okay? Where is going to be the east now? Right? Okay? Where is going to be the east? Okay? My spirit and what from just picking up certain things, I mean, what you would do with a word like Wanga? What Wanga? Who does say that? I mean, I know you got different peoples, you know, that use different language because we are similar in many ways. They call us Bakongo people and they call us Bantu people, right? Okay, and if you're looking at the slave trade and how Obia come to be spread around the Caribbean, you know, spread around the Caribbean, I mean, every Caribbean island know about Obia, every single one. But Wanga, that particular word right there, that's a Congo word. That's a Congo word. I read something say, you know, they call somebody in from Kenya had the name too. Right? Okay? But that is a see, so here now let me say this, let me go into this other thing here. Say hello, excuse me. Okay. Somebody from where is this website? Is the ECDA Caribbean Digital Archive. Okay? And it says Obia. We still on what is Obia? Obia is power. Is it Obia is a belief, an African tradition, a human tradition. Obia is Egyptian. Okay. Egypt. Okay. Obia is Ashanti. Obia is Hebrew. Obia is Jamaican. This is what is Obia now, okay? And many statements can describe Obia, but all will only touch upon small facets. They are the reflective facets, faces of a diamond. Okay, Ebenezer Morgan White. We see only what is shown back if we gaze into one's face. Okay, Obia, and then, you know, you go on and say, Obia is a religious practice based on a combination of multiple religions. No. Obia comes from here. Ain't no religious practice, nothing. Either you could do it or you can't do it. Because some people are saying they could do it and they cannot do it. You know, like I remember when I was young, you know, I was a bad girl when I was young, you know, I ain't gonna tell you how bad I was, but you know, I used to beat up fights and all kind of thing. But I went to live with my dad as a teenager and they put me in a detention center in New York City. That's where my dad was living. Anyway, and I was a mastermind then, you know, I orchestrated a breakout. Anyway, so if you had some big, tough women or girls in there. I mean, these things were like Amazon women, big women, you know. And back then I was a little skinny girl, you know. You wouldn't believe it now. But I was a little skinny girl, you know, from the islands too. So, you know, they didn't know much about the islands. You know, they would make jokes and talk about, oh, y'all swing from trees, y'all got monkeys and all these things. Because they swear, you know, I'm talking this accent. And they swear now I'm from Africa, you know what I mean? Even though, you know, you're telling me from the Virgin Islands, they be like, where there is Africa? I mean, it was really, you know, this is back in the day, you know, which wasn't very long ago to me, you know, I'm not that old, but, you know, the mindset of people, you know, I mean, fools die for want of wisdom, people, okay? So anyway, there was a Jamaican lady that used to do the cleaning up and everything. And every time I say something, they wouldn't understand me, so they would go and ask the Jamaican lady what I said. And she would think to them. So one day she tell them, she said, leave her alone before she do over on you. So they like, over, oh my goodness, over. Yeah, she said she gonna put you all in her shoe and walk on you. So things like that, no. Okay? I mean, literally, take somebody's name, write it down, and put it in your shoe and walk on it. Now think about that for a moment. How that would make you feel? That would make you feel empowered, especially if you're being bullied, to know that you could actually walk on people like a giant. Every step you take, you're crushing them underneath your feet. That is the psychic idea. That's the idea, right? Okay? It not only gives the person that's doing it confidence, okay, but the people that it's being done to, they begin to start to fear you because this is what you're projecting out into the universe. You're projecting a power over these people, like a fear, right? Okay? And this is where Obe comes in, is like a psychological thing. I mean, we do that in Ifan Orisha too. When we do rituals and things with Orisha and with Ifa, according to what the Odu says, it's like we're using natural elements, right? Change the vibration. And all, you know, all of that, not just the natural elements, the words that's coming out in the chants and everything. So you're using all of these combination of things, the spiritual powers, you know, some learn according to, you know, even in the case of, you know, Ifa and everything, you learn these prayers and you learn these things. But once you know the science, you just do the science. But the strongest element in the science is the words. Okay? The words. What is being said? What's the intention? What is the wish? What is, you know, what are you bringing into? And if you can do that for harming, you can do that for caring and curing too. We can do that for caring and curing too. Okay? So now, this article is saying that Obia draws on the African religion, also reinterprets and Africanizes Christian practices. Like, and I could say, like in Palo Mayombe, even though you're working with a Prenda, you're working with what is called the Inkizi, okay? Okay, you're working with the Inkizi. And then, of course, you know, there are other elements within that you would be working not with just those entities, but you would be working with the dead, right? Human beings, right? Okay? That you can, they have incorporated, I know, certain elements, and I wouldn't call it Christianity, because it's you. I mean, when we talk about Christianity, let me just pause for a minute, because I want my Christian brothers and sisters not to be offended by anything that I'm saying. That's the first thing, don't get offended, okay? But Christianity has so much symbolism in it and so much spiritual, and if you want to say Ovia in Christianity, not Christianity in Ovia, but Ovia in Christianity, where people use their Ori, their powers to make their will. Every time they call the name of Jesus with the power, they call Jesus in the blood of Jesus, and Jesus has hellfire and everything, all of this, holy fire and, and all of these things, right? Okay? So they're using that same power, They're not calling on Jesus himself and getting garnishing from Jesus' power, They're giving Jesus the power. They're giving, ascribing the power to Jesus. Right? Okay? Okay? So you look at the Bible, for instance, and there are some elements of where the Bible is used in doing protective spells in Obia, right? Like, for instance, particularly the Psalms. Now, a lot of you probably heard about the Book of Psalms. And the Book of Psalms, it will tell you which psalm to say for which problem. But in addition, it will tell you which candle to burn. Christians love this, guys, the Book of Psalms. Okay? And when they want to fight a battle, they bust you at Psalms 91, and Psalms 37, and they bust you at Psalms 103, and they bust you, these Psalms. Okay? And what it does is empower them. They're being empowered now because they feel like I'm protected. Like, you get a piece of paper now, and you write the enemy name or the person, whoever it is bothering you, and you write the name down, bam, 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 even if it's 1, 2, 3, 10, 100 people. You write the name down, right? And the science know, because you ain't gonna just write the name down like that, and any kind of way, you have to get a certain kind of paper, okay? You have to use a certain writing instrument, cannot use ink and things like that. And then even they incorporate now with the moon, the sun, they go into astrology too. You got to do it on the new moon, the quarter moon, the full moon, the half moon, whichever moon is you need to do it on, and all of these things. But then you're going to take them numbers, and you ain't going to write the whole psalm out, You're just going to use the numbers and imprison these people. You're going to put them in imprisonment by using one, the directions in nature, north, south, east, west, and you corner them. They cannot get out of the psalms that you write down. You write the number down, 91, 27, 103, this other one. Right? You write them down on each tip of the corner, and the people are locked in like a prison. This is it. This is the kind of things that is being done, and it takes effect. Okay? So I'm looking at this paper, and it mentioned the word supernatural. And it befits over here. Because you don't know, and I always say, this is my motto, spirit have no boundary. And why I go say spirit have no boundary? Because people always, for instance, people like to say, like when you have to do something for them spiritually, say they're getting work done from somebody that's not, like they can't actually reach them, right? They in Africa or they here, and they in Africa and you here or wherever. And you want to say they can't do the work because you ain't coming to them. You ain't coming to get no cleaning. You come to get nothing, they might tell you, send something. Send this here. Send the name of the person. Just send something. You got to send something. Send your name, send a picture, send something. So that you send the thing, and they're going to use that thing right there. Right? Okay? So the people screaming, oh, no, I can't do it. No, that's not going to work, you know. I have to get cleaned, and I have to this, and I have to that. I'm like, how are you going to say the spirit can't do it? And when the person who juju you or who over you, if you want to say, the person who put a spell on you and everything, were you in front of them when they put a spell on you? You didn't even have to have no contact with them. You don't even have to know what they look like. You never meet them before. But it's confirmed that something spiritual, some supernatural thing is going on with you. I like when you have Jumbi, and Jumbi is like, you know, entities. The Jumbi them running on your house and, you know, coming in, having sex with you in the night and all this type of thing. You don't have to invite them over for dinner, right? For them to harm you. But somebody else could have directed them using their, and I don't want, and it's a form of ashi, you know, that spiritual energy. That's what it is. It's ashi, spiritual energy, and a lot of people combine it with a lot of other stuff. They combine it, you know, with other things, you know, like the Christian thing with the power of the psalms and stuff like that. So they combine these things, and then next thing you know, your whole life falling apart. Okay? I know somebody tried to juju me. They stole my shoes. I went to a spiritual gathering, and when it's time to leave, in the dead of winter in New York City, dead of winter, they stole my shoes. I couldn't find my shoes. Everybody else find their shoes except me. No shoes to be found. First thing the people do come and pair shoes belonging to somebody. And I already know from being initiated to the Orisha and everything, that's one of my taboos. I can't put on nothing for nobody else on my body. Not my foot, not my hand, not my nothing. Okay? And I can't don't give my things to anybody either. That's taboo for me. Why they tell me it's taboo for me? You think they just want me to be vain and wasteful? Come the new year, January, I had a whole long wardrobe. I had to burn everything. I burned my whole wardrobe. Fancy everything. Start fresh. Right? The Orisha know these things. You know, through divination, we know this thing. That's another thing. In Obia, when it comes to divination and stuff, it don't be like, you don't be checking to see if you're doing the right thing. And you don't, Obey, you don't do that. You just know. Because you're projecting it out from it within. You're projecting it. You're sending it, the vibes out in the universe. Okay? Boy, we need to work our Obey to bring some good stuff in our lives. That's all I can say. So the people still stole my shoes. Then when I refuse the shoes, they come bring a pair of socks. Then after the socks, then is when we got done, when I refuse the socks, then, you know, like, how are you going to, like, go, you know, you know, I mean, it's like snow outside. How are you going to get out there? And then I said, well, I'm going to just go on. You know what I mean? And they say, oh, because you have a crazy spirit walking with you. And that crazy spirit will make you go out there and even walk out and, you know, take your clothes off and all this kind of thing. And you got this crazy spirit with you. And I say, well, if the spirit crazy, the spirit would know, well, I need a crazy spirit for some reason. If I have a crazy spirit with me, it's because that crazy spirit is protecting me. So I know I can walk out there and nothing ain't going to happen to me. Because that crazy spirit gonna heist me up and make sure that I don't catch a dreadful frost in my feet or anything, waiting for the car to come along or waiting for a taxi or whatever the case was. And I have to catch a taxi. Right? You see? So things like that, so people would take your thing and you wouldn't believe those shoes happened to resurface 1 year to the date of that event by some other person that wasn't even at the event, but they were the one designated to deliver the shoe to me. Right? And it was so sad because I knew enough, you know, from my upbringing, from being in Ifa, from being in Palo, from being in having Orisha, I knew enough not to accept those shoes. But I was even very forward. I told them to tell them to eat it, cook it, boil it, roast it, saute it, and whatever, anything they could do to consume it themselves. But just don't send it here. Don't send it to me. Because if they send it to me, that's when they're going to get something back. Right? Guys, I have to threaten it. And I threatened the person that they were delivering the message to tell them, listen, you don't want to get involved in that. Don't give them my address. Don't do nothing. Because, no. I didn't even want to go into the whole story. Why was, and then, you know, the minute came out about who took the shoes and everything and everything and everything. I was just happy the shoes, you know, they didn't send back the shoes to me. Kai were quite fine. Because I know people, even right now, people take their things, their personal things, and use them for malicious intent. You see? And this is where, when I come to talk about this thing about Obey Waste, this is where we need not initially do the injustice to people for any reason. We don't need to do the injustice. We could use the same power to generate things for ourselves, our family, our loved ones, our community, our nation of people. Our spiritual evolution, everything. We could use these energies because we have mega energy, man. We have mega energy, okay? Mega energy more than the AI. You know what I mean? You know, the AI want to outdo us, but they're not going on like that, okay? They're trying to suck all the information out of us, but they can never can. Okay? Because we do things that come directly from the cosmos. We do things and we know things that come directly from the cosmos, and the AI is not picking it up. The AI has to go and tap our brain. Okay? But the AI cannot get to our consciousness. That's the next step. Your consciousness is beyond that. Right? So here now, the paper is saying in some regions of the Caribbean, elements of indigenous and South Indian, you listen to this now, religions have been incorporated into the practice as well. Just like Christianity, you know, you have different things, you know, like a cigar, you know, I could read cigars, I think I could read just about anything, any natural thing. Any cards, anything, you know, but I'm not too much into the cards. I have a few decks, you know, just for my, you know, my peak interest, but, you know, I can read anything. Why? Because I inherited that ashe from my mother, right? And also on my father's side too, from my father, mother, yeah? Or my mother's and my father's, right? It's saying here, you're sitting at the intersection of politics and spirituality. Yes, you are listening to True Talks with Ofe, and we're talking about the misconceptions of Obia, in case you all did not know. That's our topic, okay? So, where am I now? You know, I like to switch pages, and then next thing you know, I'm gone to someplace else. Okay, yeah, so I'm here. So it says here, now, sitting at the intersection of politics and spirituality, Obe has been described as the magical art of resistance. Oh, I love that. The Magical Art of Resistance. Okay. I can hear that. Okay, because it gives petitioners and those that sought its aid a sense of empowerment in the face of oppression. That's why I tell you the older things start from moral judgment, from people that do wrong. Okay, like in the olden days when they had a real or bunny thing going on, you couldn't go in front of them and tell no lie. You're liable to lose your life from telling a lie. You're liable to lose your life from saying something that you know you're doing something you know is wrong. Okay? And the spirit, they have the gadgets and the means to communicate and let the spirit make the judgment on you. Next thing you know, off with the head. You understand me? Okay? When things like that happen, you found that societies were like, you know, but everybody today, everybody robbing, everybody lying, everybody, you know, even under the little children, they're robbing, they're lying and everything. You know what I mean? The young people, everybody doing it. Okay? And we're trying to instill, and everybody, look at all the killings and stuff of the young people, especially, you know, the dark-skinned people. You know, the young people just killing each other for little stupidness, you know, stupidness. And that's not even to mention what's going on in this age of Aquarius, where spirituality is on, you know, on the rise, where like, hey, you can't really do nothing that people don't know. Even if you don't tell, even if you decide, well, I find this also, no, I'm not going to tell Mama Yeye. I'm not going to tell Iaofe. Oh, my God. But then Iaofe don't peep it. A little star come and light up in my head and say, oh, call so-and-so so you can verify it. What you're thinking is what is actually going on. You see what I mean? We never can lie. We never can lie. So everything is being, nothing is hidden. Nothing is hidden. They don't even make no sense lie, even though you say what is done in the dark comes to the light, and that is the absolute truth. You cheat, you do anything, eventually is going to come out. The truth of it is going to come out. You could deny it for a million years, and then one day past a million years, is that, well, oh, no, I did it, I'm guilty. After a million years, oh, my God. But anyway. So here they're saying, despite the constraints of violence, and let me take a peek at my Facebook people, despite the constraints of and violence of colonial rule, many Ovia practitioners assumed positions of power within their communities and were respected and revered by both and European colonists who fear the power of Ovia. Yeah, because remember the outlaw Ovia in Jamaica. Remember when, I mean, the outlaw, you catch practicing Ovia, you're dead. That's how Jamaica had it for many, 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 many years from slavery. Okay? They catch you practicing and you get accused of them. You get, you know, people dead. They get accused of doing Ovia and they're dead because they did something natural. And sometimes, you know, like in defense, just like always say, yeah, magical art of resistance. Okay, like when Miss Seeley taking spit in the drink for the guy that the slave owner or whatever he was, you know, and you know that empowered her. You understand me? Things of that nature, and people do these things. I mean, even when you look at elements of hoodoo, right? Hoodoo. You know, like woodwork and things like this stuff. You know, it's a lot of stuff they do with natural stuff, natural things that make the difference in how they feel justified or victorious in having a wrong done to them, you know, in protecting themselves. and things like that. Okay? Okay? I don't know if you ever watch, oh my God. I forget which song. I think it's that animated thing, 10,000 BC. You know, when they were doing the, going on the mammoth hunt, they're going to hunt the mammoths, right? And old grandmother so-and-so, you know, they were calling me that because, you know, I like to use spit and cure people. The children, you know, they get a cut, okay, boom, it gone. You know what I mean? And stuff like that, you see? Okay? Simple, simple. All of that there is over right there. Okay? Okay? You use your spit, bam, 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 it gone. Okay? So it's obia is often understood interrelated paths in its practice. Okay, let's hear this now. The first path within the realm of the supernatural. Okay, it involves the art of casting spells and warding off evil. The conjuring of luck and wealth, ashe, and the protection of oneself and others. You heard that? All right, y'all said something that makes sense. Okay, and then the colonists recognized this path as threatening. Okay, this is the other people. They represent this as threatening to their control of enslaved people, given that this supernatural power was often wielded in the name of retaliation. You see what I'm telling you about the justice? And the injustice, this is what made, this is the basis of Obia, okay? For the violence against enslaved Africans, this shift of power and fear is integral to the understanding of Obia as a means of resistance. Damn right, you've got that straight, okay? And the second related part of Obia concerns medical authority. Listen, people, and involves the knowledge the knowledge and use of certain plants, animal products. Yeah, no, slaughtering the animal and sacrificing the animal. That part is not in Obia, but it will use a lizard head, okay, a rat tail, you know, yeah, things like that, you know, okay, centipede, the pee from the centipede from the gongolo. You see what I mean? Different things. So they would use animal parts, animal products, you know, to heal illnesses, okay? Albeit in a manner not given credence by European colonists. Yeah, so, you get sick, and back in the day, you go to the Obia man and woman because, no, you go to the hospital, the doctor, them can't find out what's wrong with you. Nobody know what's wrong with you. Okay, I mean, we do that with Ifa too, you know, Ifa, Ifa is over too, oh my God. So we do that with Ifa because, you know, I know Risha practice, and because, you know, we deal with herbs and things too. But they will take these things. Sometimes you need a, what is called like a talisman, a protective thing, something for you to hang up. A simple plant like the aloe tree, the aloe vera that people use for medicine. Okay, it heals burns and bruises and everything. If you want to protect your house, you know, you're going to certain people's house in the Caribbean, you see, it's going to be a young, very young aloe, plant. And they have it hung up over the door, facing up. If the plant facing down, that's protection. If the plant facing up, that's protection from evil. The plant facing up is about wealth and health. It's about health. Okay? And you see these type of things, just like, you know, people put a horseshoe over the door, up and down, you know, different beliefs and stuff like that. Okay? So Obia is mixed with, you know, the medical aspect, like this is saying. Medical authority, where, you know, you have used Obia, you know, medicine from the, yeah, they tell you during this, during that, You know, I remember, like, when we were growing up, my mother used to give us Ibaye, to know where her spirit, may her spirit rise, as she, to all his glory, as she, come again. Yeah? So, she used to give us a purging, like, every 3 months. I mean, this is a serious purging with this thing called Espica syrup. I don't know if any of you, if Caribbean people, you know about Espica syrup. You don't want to do it as a child, but you know you got to listen to your mother and they're going to line you up in a line and give you your dose of Espica syrup. But anyway, when you drink Espica syrup, you're going to vomit and you're going to run to the bathroom and you know, defecate and everything. And that's so if you're poisoned, if you're being slow poisoned or poisoned, you would not be poisoned after that because everything is coming out, okay? And then, of course, they're going to give you things to strengthen your body back up and everything after you done do all the vomiting and the doo-dooing, as we say, you know, after you done do that, okay? So we used to get that. And then we used to have two different herbs and different things that we, you know, we'd normally drink. And I just made a joke about this. You're going, and how you know a person is from the Caribbean even before they open their mouth? If you go to their home, right? You go to their home and you happen to look in the kitchen or any place on the counter and you see like dry bush. You see dry bush over the fridge. In a lot of bags, you know, they open the fridge and whatnot. Okay? You know the Caribbean people, because that's like a trademark. You go, you must have a bag with some, at least some bush tea. And some people will take it further because then they want bush for bathing and all of this type of thing. That's part of the OBA thing. That's part of the health and the learned behavior of those who came before you, right? And that's part of Obey, because certain things that you see people doing, you know, the little things and things. And some people that actually are called Obey men and Obey women, you would take it to, they would take it to another extent. And that's why I see a big link in the Palo Mayombe that tradition derived from the Congo traditions, right? With the Inkizi, the Minkizi. You know, with in Zambe that they call God and Wanga that they call, like, you know, you got to do, you know, even some of the, you know, we got a Mama Wanga too. You understand me? So some of these spirits, you know, the names that they give them, definitely we know. And if you check, a lot of Congo people, ancestors, ended up in the Caribbean too. And we retain a lot of what they did, even the word in our language and everything. You know, when, you know, like if I'm talking like raw Saint-Thomian, a lot of words get chopped up. Okay? So you're saying something like walk. I say walk, which is work, right? Waka. Wanga, like work in Wanga. Waka Wanga. Right? It's not like a foreign language. Don't let them talk in natural and they talking fast and they talking dialogue in between each other. Now you know, I've been told like, hey, you know, she not speaking English. What language is that? I'm saying English. You know? And they're like, no, I know English. That's not English. Okay? So here now, so they're talking about these supernatural forces. Intermingling with the flora and fauna of the Caribbean. That's what makes it ripe for doing. Okay? Cause, you know, the Caribbean is, you know, a lot like Africa, you know, it's a lot like Africa, you know, it's slow, it's small, it's clustered, you know, everybody know everybody and things of that nature. Okay? So this aspect of Obey was generally seen as less threatening than its supernatural force. But as evident in the narrative of quote-unquote Hercules, this is a narrative of Hercules, from a voyage to the islands, Madeira, Barbados, Nieves, you know, Nieves S. Christopher's and Jamaica by Hans Sloane. It was a subject of mockery and ridicule among European writers, how they debase the idea of Obier in the first place, okay? When the people were actually just protecting themselves, trying to protect themselves in every which way that they knew how, and safeguard themselves from being harmed, you know, from the, you know, the people who invaded their places, right? So we got a very good book that I'll recommend. Again, you can find this book on, I try to get it from Abe Books. I looked at it in Abe Books, but they don't have it there anymore. It's out of print. But if you go on the site called Forgotten Books, I mean, some the books, there's a fee, a monthly fee, for you to download any book that they have in their library, and you can download, you can read, download, and everything. And also, they have many old books. So I like the old books because even if their interpretations are biased in that they would call like a dark-skinned person a Negro or a savage or, you know, a native, you know, different words that they would use. But, you know, there are different books that even when you read them, you know that it's an account of their experience, their actual experience. And it wasn't like something they actually read somewhere and then they believed it. Okay? So using your own common sense and the knowledge that you have now about the same topic, you can read the book and pick sense out of nonsense. And you can read a book and know when something was actual, okay? And you're talking about educated people that wrote these books of their explorers, you know, the exploits when they went to the islands and take over the islands and everything, you know. They have a chapter of, and they're talking about, when the Arawak and, you know, of course, you know, even where I come from in the Virgin Islands, we had Arawak and the Carib Indians there that they call Indians, you know. But we had these groups of people that occupied these islands, right? The Caribs, you know, the Caribs, they thought the Caribs were cannibals or, you know, well, they, you know, they, you get caught, they will eat you. Right? That reminds me of one time. I actually told a guy, I mean, in my own bravery, because this guy was a bad man. He was considered a bad man of the community. And I had to show that bad man that I wasn't scared of him, you know? You know, I dared him to come in front of my door. I like, come in front of my door. And I got my machete out and tell him, listen, I will chop you up, skin you, devour you, fix you up, put you in a pot, cook you, and then sit down and eat you. I told him that. I said, it wouldn't be nothing left for you after, but I will eat you. And I don't know what, you know, where that came from. I think it was the Carib Indian in me. I don't know. But I told him that I will eat him. You see what I mean? And this is the kind of things that we're talking about. So you have now and remember now, Obier is in it. Okay? And when you're talking about your ancestry, you're talking about character traits and character and consciousness from those who came before you, right? You would want to know, well, why are you the way you are? Why would you even tell somebody that you're going to eat them, Miss Melba? Form of bravery. Okay? Now, if he actually came in front of me, you know, I would probably go inside and lock the door before he comes. don't know, but I'm not a coward. But I know he believes in his mind that, you know, because he even avoided me after that. Now, this is a bad, this is the terrorizing person of the whole village, right? The whole community. Okay? But I threatened him in that way. Tell him, you want to mess with me? Okay, this is what I got for you. Right? Okay? And now, so, book is entitled Obia. That's just Obia is the title of the book. And let me tell you guys who is by now. I don't want to, I think I downloaded it. Let me see. Let me look at the downloads for a second. So I could tell you, Obia, la, 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 la. Oh, that's a picture. This is the PDF right here, okay? And it's open. Okay, bye. I'm going to tell you a second. Heskeith J. Bell. Okay, and it was written, first printed in 1889. Okay, and it's his, he introduces himself as having these exploits in the Caribbean island of Grenada, you know? And of course, I don't know if y'all know a little bit of Grenada history, because at one point, the government, they made Grenada burn all the history books. It was a sad time, you know. They burned all the history books, and they had an embargo on books, you know. And there are certain things, when I think about them, I feel them in my spirit, you know. I feel them in my spirit, let me tell you. Anyway, so in the book, there are chapters that deal with death and sorcery, right? Old bear, stock in trade. And this is what really caught my eye, okay? When there's a section in chapter four, called a Wanga temple. And I remember that word Wanga. That's a serious word. You know? Does anybody tell you anything about any Wanga? Hey. Especially if they're telling you they're going to do it to you. Oh, my goodness. No, 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 no. You know, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And you know how the Caribbean people do. They're so hot-headed. You know, I don't know where they get all that hot-headedness from. But, you know, if you and them get in an argument and they tell you, wait, I'm coming back, you know, you need to go run and hide somewhere. Don't even, don't wait for them. Don't be there when they come back. Don't act like you're brave or nothing, nothing, nothing. Because trust me, when they come back, they mean business. They tell you they're coming back, they mean business. You just make like the wind and blow in another direction. So anyway, so you have topics like these, right? Topics like these that are being discussed in his book. All right, that's one of the books, right? Okay, the other one is, let me see. I want to recommend these books for y'all so you can have an idea. You can look at another book you can also get it on Forgotten Books, called At the Back of the Black Man's Mind. And that's the book that I was reading that I got. I got the note about Obier coming, the term Obier originating in the Congo. Okay, that's like Central Africa, right? Not where, coming from Egypt and stuff like that. No, You know, I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, because I wasn't around when they were doing the Egyptian, well, okay, let me don't say that, because the Egyptians have their own that deals with the Oritu, that deals with the mind, so much so that they were, you know, there's so much things about the Egyptians and the what we call, and a lot of people know, you're hearing about Anunnaki and all these type of things now, the aliens and the gods that probably were aliens and, you know, all this type of thing, you know. So, you know, you were one of those, like, are they Orisha aliens too? You know, things like that, you know, because now we have these spiritual forces that we're dealing with. But they were doing a lot of mind projections, right, where you use your mind. And when we see what is being spoken about right now is a lot of people are into, like, spiritual elevation, elevating their mind, using their mind to project. I mean, and that's what Ori does. When we talk about Ori, we talk about Ori is the only Orisha that comes with us when we're born, stays with us our entire life, and then leave with us when we die. And Ori is the only Orisha that got the gift of creative speech when it split the kola nut of creative speech, right? It was able to open the calabash of creative speech, meaning, well, we can create what we think, right? We can bring from heaven to earth whatever it is that we're imagining, right? Okay? So we need a computer, we got computers. We need jet planes, we got jet planes. We need anything, a gadget, we got it, you know. We just wish that we never had the bombs and stuff, okay? And you know, and the guns and stuff, because what do we do with those things? You know what I mean? Those things are destructive, totally. Okay, the guns and all of this type of stuff. That's why other people were able to go into some people that is harmless and in harmony with nature and disrupt, like how they did in the Congo, and how they did on the Caribbean islands, like how they did, you know, doing slavery in other parts of Africa. That's, you know. Because you're going with a certain kind of knowledge and technology and weapons and all of this type of thing, and the people are living peacefully, okay, maybe they have a machete because they know they can take the machete and, you know, get some food, you know what I mean? And then, you know, they're taken over by these other things, you see? And this is now where, even when it comes to information, when it comes to that inner knowing, we're in that age right now that we can know a lot more than what is being told. And you will know the people, even look at all the disclosure stuff. Look at the stuff that just came out in Congress on the 26th of this month, of July. What were they talking about? Disclosure, whistleblowing on the alien agenda. Okay? Now, okay, there's two sides to the coin when it comes to that story, and people are, conspiracy theory, blah, 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 blah. But you're discounting everything that is being said by people who witness certain things. I saw a spaceship more than once. One was right over me, you know. Then boom, there was a crash, boom. I went from fishing to running to see a crash in hours. Where did the time go? I don't know, okay? I tell my children, they say, oh, mommy, you got abducted. You don't even remember. You know? But all of these things are, you know, they mean something. Okay? So we got that. We have this other book entitled Congo Grail. Okay? Congo, K-R-A-A-L, right? Okay, and it talks about, you know, the early settlers and everything, you know, about, you know, when the quote-unquote white people, the fair-skinned people, you know, went over in Africa and they did all kind of obnoxious things. And I'm sorry, you know, for my listening audience who happened to be, you know, light-skinned, you know. But this is, you know, the truth of the matter, with the colonization, you know, that took place in all of these places over Africa. you know, the bloody Holocaust, the bloody, you know, extinction of peoples, of different people. So even at the time, you know, that's how the Arawaks and the Caribs disappeared. They were all murdered. Okay? That's how they disappeared. And in that book, The Congo, it talks about the whole sequence of events, how, you know, all of this took place in the middle of when they used Christianity as a means to distract the people. And imagine Grenada being sold, a whole island being sold for like a few bottles of rum and some and bags of rice. Okay? For who knew better, you know, that was outright theft, and then still enslaved the people, still got rid of the most of the tribes of people. And that's, you know, till it got down to a point where there were only like maybe four indigenous people calling themselves a Carib. That was a Carib, a real Carib, you know. I don't like to say Indian because that's what they say. But they weren't Indian. Okay? So it talks about all these things. So the next book is Congo Grave, okay? And this one is written in 1848. Right? It was revised by D.P. Kidder, published in New York, published by Lane and Scott, Union of the Methodists. You see, so they used the churches, right, to, and thank God they documented these, so they had people that went in there, and, you know, they called themselves educated and scholarly people, and they went in there, and they were documented as much of the, even the language, some of them broke down, like at the back of the black man's mind, the whole system is broken down. Even because in the back of the black man's mind, that book, they talk about Ifa, they talk about Orisha, they talk about the Benin City, Dahomey, and they even talk about the Congo in that book, you know, and the similarities with, you know, who practices Ifa, Efa, Ufe, Ufa, and, you know, and Ovia, that's what they call, imagine Ovia and Ovia sound the same way, but that's how they call Ifa, okay, in the Congo, okay, Ovia, O-V-I-A, so you see, so these are, you know, some of the things that we're, you know, when you think about things and how things work, this is what's happening, though, let me tell you. So we have that one, Congo Grail, at the back of the black man's mind, the one called Obia. And, you know, for you people who like to study and know and research and question things, you can go there and check it out, okay? Okay? And see for yourself. So you've been listening to True Talks with Ofeo Fair, and we're talking about the misconceptions of Obia because you know, people think Obia is the wickedest thing, you know, and then we have all the people that mix Obia up with everything else, and, you know, then they still call it Obia. You know, anytime anything evil is done to somebody, oh, somebody did Obia and you. It's evil. They did Obia and you, which, you know, I'm not saying they're not right, okay? I want to point this out, okay? Some of the symbols that they equate with Obia is the snake. One of the symbols is a snake. You know, the snakes are like, you know, Obia to me is a lot like voodoo, right? You know, I mean, because, you know, they're in voodoo, not voodoo out of Haiti, but Burun, other places like Togo, even Benin City, Nigeria, and Buru out of Ghana and Dahomey, which is, you know, Benin proper, right? That they, you know, they have the python temples and stuff like that, and the symbol, or, you know, Mahulisa is like the health symbol, like, you know, when we have in our health here in the United States, you know, with the snakes intertwined. Okay, that is the essence of life. And if you look at, you can look in, who's his book? Ted Andrews, Animals Speak book. You know, it gives interpretations of this symbolic meanings of different animals, reptiles, fish, birds, everything. When you see them in living, you know, in your regular life, what is it trying to tell you? What messages is it bringing to you? And what kind of powers these different animals and birds and bees and everything represent, right? So, you know, so their snake, the snake, is one of the emblems of Obia. And they're looking at it because, I mean, okay, I mean, we when you talk about different things, we have snakes. And, like, remember I said that Obia uses parts of animals, you know. It could be like, you know, okay, get some dry ants, you know, from an ant's nest. You know, you got to get some dead ants, some fire ants. You might get some black ants, you know, worker ants, and you might get this and this and that. And when I think about that, that's why I think I follow Mayumi too, because when we're building the prendas, when we're building the spiritual parts, you know, sometimes the spiritual parts call for, you know, a lot of, not sometimes, but all the time, they call for different elements, you know, even the way how people, how some rules of paths of Eshu is created, right? Some paths of Eshu is created is, you know, with different, it calls for different secrets to be inside, because the secrets and the knowledge is what makes it work a certain way, okay? All right. Okay, so that's some of the symbols. You got the snake. You know, so they use things like ant mound, you know, bees nest, you know, a bird's nest, you know, all these kind of things, snake eggs and, you know, all these things, you know. And you'd be like, oh, my God, you know, I could never be an Obia man or woman. You know, they used to call me the Obia woman in the islands. I said, boy, you need to learn, you know. Okay. You know. Yeah. So in this book, it's really good, guys. Really good. So y'all get that book, Obia, get to reading and everything, and get to find out what's really going on with this thing, Obia, and not use it, but by all means, protect yourself, protect your property, okay? Protect where your property, I mean, even at Palo, we do some certain rituals for protection of your property, you know, so that, you know, somebody don't come along and take it away from you and say, it's theirs, okay? We have rituals that we do, that we work with the earth and we do stuff like that, okay? To protect your property, your home, and all of this type of things, okay? And, you know, and all of these are like Congo-based stuff, because you know, okay, who tells you that when you mix this and you do that, this is what the result's going to be? Where do you get that from? Okay, so some of these things are passed down through traditions, you know, okay? And Obia is the same thing. When you know, you see your grandma do this, you see grandma do that. I mean, some people say a lot of Obia is based on superstition, you know. And these are the kind of things that we're talking about, you know. It's like, you know, like coming in the door backwards after midnight. You know, you don't walk straight in the door because you don't know what's following you inside. These customs and things, you find people in the Caribbean do these things. You know, even from generations and generations to generations, because they grew up knowing to do this, they continue to practice it and all of this stuff, and the next thing, and it becomes part of their tradition. Okay? All right? Okay? So don't pay attention to all these different, but I, remember I mentioned the few books in the beginning too, the Ovir Bible, okay, the Ovir Temple. They got these quote-unquote modern books. But I'm telling you, for, you know, if you really want to get a good grasp of how things were and how things, and compared to how things are, you need to read the old accounts. You know, Yemaya told me that in my guitar when I got Yemaya in Lukumi. Yemaya told me get old books, true books, to discuss things, because they have the best, a better account, because people will write anything, like all this copy, you know, all this stuff that this person wrote about, you know, about Obier and stuff, you know, was so like, oh no, oh no, that could not work, okay? That could not work for me, all right? Yeah, Obier and Orisha, no, they ain't got nothing like that. Ain't got no Obier and Orisha thing here, no, okay? And for the people, and I'm going to say, because I'm telling you, you got a lot of people now, you know, they like to say, oh, I got Orisha. And they don't have Orisha. They have a statue. Okay? Yes, it's all good and well to have your statue and thing and that. But, you know, you're not really, when you do something with Orisha, you're not doing it to the image per se, but you're doing it for the energy, you know, you're doing it to the energy and with the energy, not with the emblem, okay? So, you know, so saying Orisha, the Obier man and woman is like a shaman, in a lot of ways, okay? I mean, we call everything a different name, you know. Okay. All right. Any questions, anybody? Nobody raising their hand here. What's going on? No questions? Facebook, what y'all saying? Y'all just watching me chatting my head off, ain't saying nothing? Okay. Ya Natat Nafar Hepet Kanchis have in Ghana told me that our people were the first to settle in the country of Ghana, and that we have an original language before Akan, Twi, and that we came here from Israel via Egypt. We lived in Egypt for a long time, but kept fleeing west due to certain dilemmas. I know that's what they say about the Yoruba too. They say the Yoruba came from the east. You know, especially the Yoruba progenitor, there's a big thing about that, you know, that he came from the east, you know, Oduduwa came from the east, right? You know? And, you know, they call him, when you listen to Benin history, I mean, Benin Dahomey, you'll hear another story, okay? So, you know, these are things, if you want verification, you can research. They say that in Egypt, live for Egypt for a long time, we keep fleeing west, but due to certain dilemmas, it kept happening to our people by enemies. But yes, that we are Egyptians too, he said. Interesting. I mean, you know, if you want to compare any, like even to the Yoruba people, if you want to compare any island people to the Yoruba people, that would be Jamaican. The next one would be Antiguan. Okay? Not even so much Trinidadians. Trinidadians, you know, are more like Ghanaians. So is the Virgin Islanders. They are more like Ghanaians. And then, well, if you're in Guinea and you're, you know, you're talking about the Akan priest. I'm sorry, guys, for the light. Let me see. We didn't have enough light. I'm sorry. So we're talking about an Akan priest. Then the Akan priest, you know, is saying the same thing, you know, in terms of where we came from, yeah, that we're much alike them. Alafeshenni Ojebode Ifaleke. How are you, Baba? Ashe? Nice to meet your program. Yeah, Ashe. Abudua Boye, Baba, Oyashogo Ifakorede Iguvu. My favorite Baba in the whole world. You know that? That's right. That's my favorite Baba. And one of my first, well, he's my second Facebook friend from Nigeria. He don't know that, but he is. My first Facebook friend, Funshodare. And Funshodare passed away a few years ago, you know. He was such a nice guy, you know. Yeah, you know, Ibai, to know the Funshodare. But Baba Oyashogo Ifakoride, he is my second Facebook friend, and we've always been friends for so many, many years. He's my Baba too. So, my Baba in Ifa. Ashe, thank you, Baba. I appreciate you too very much. Okay. Oh my God, Telly Marie, Ashe, Abulumboye, how are you? How are you? How are you? Mm-hmm. You said you have those who say, especially in Ifan or Richa practices, that one has to be present and their feet must touch the mat. But yet, if one wants to do you in with some work, all they need is a name. Telling the reader, that's why I'm telling the people, I say, Ifan have no boundaries. Ifa have no boundaries, you know. Ifa, no. It's not Ifa, I mean spirit. Spirit have no boundaries. So if they, you know, the spirit want to reach you in Timbuktu, it can reach you. You know, you are there when the people put juju on you. You are standing up saying, okay, I'm ready. Put the juju on me now. This thing is so funny. You know what I mean? So the people wasn't there, you know, when the juju was placed on you. Okay, but now it's time for the juju to come after you. You think you have to put your foot on the mat, and they're telling you bull crap. Put your foot on the mat, you must catch a plane and come cross the ocean to get it after you and all this kind of thing. Oh, no. Okay, so you said yet, your foot has to touch the mat, yet if one wants to do you in with some work, all they need is a name and intent and even a picture that they tap in. People done with some serious work for real, and the person did not have to leave to go see anyone. It's the truth that when I explain that to people, because you know I do work for people all over the world. I don't care where you are, because they ain't got nothing to do with where you are. Okay, so just like they come and take your panty, I say, okay, send me your panty. Send me a dirty panty, you know, and they touch your panty, okay. Send me the panty. Boop, 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 reverse. You know what I mean? No, sir. You know? Oh, you got the same taboos. I hear you, sister girl, you know? And I, you know, I be having some nice stuff, you know? And I had a big boy look. When I had a bun and clothes, I was like, oh, God. You should have seen me. I was like, oh, yeah. And you think I would have switched up, right? You see, now today, you know, I'm dealing with Oya today, you know. Well, most times I deal with Oya. Because, and it's a Babala who pointed that out to me. He said, oh, you sure Oya not your mother? And I say, yes. I say, you know, that's my girl, Oya, that's me, you know. Yes, I have Oya. I have an Oya today, buddy. My favorite from Oya, you know. I love me some Oya too, you know. Because she goes, shh. Switch things around very fast, okay? So no questions, guy. No questions. Yeah, and finally at the right place. Ashe, my favorite phone. I was on your page showing the book on Obe. Any your voice talking? Oh, nice, nice. Okay. Okay, all right. So no questions, guys, no questions. we got only like 5 minutes winding down, but you know, sometimes, you know, we go a little bit over depending on how people want to talk and what they want to see. Oh, yes, loved you. Yes, yes, yes. I don't know why my spirit take you so, but yeah. Yeah, I know you straight up too, telling Marie. Yes, 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 yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me see what Block Talk people saying here. Boy, look, at nobody raised their hand. Okay, it's okay. It's not a problem, you know. I guess it was more of an information, being informative and everything. And I just wanted to get people to think. And I really would love to see, like, these mass rituals going on with different spiritual people, just putting the vibes on manifesting things, you know, making things happen. Very good, because you know there's power in numbers. Let me tell you, seriously. Yes, thank you very much, yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah, but you know the point of the Obeah. That's why I am not against Obeah. What I'm against is, you know, like people using it to harm people that haven't even harmed them. You know, they're using it to harm people that haven't harmed them. You see what I mean? Because they know that it can work. You know, like, you know, when people take, you know, think like you're taking somebody's shoes, you're taking up a panty, you know, all this kind of stuff. I've had that, you know, they take the panty. And, you know, I work, I want to get too personal about what to do with underwear, but I always work, like if I go away somewhere, I carry new underwear. I don't go with the underwear that I normally use. I always carry new underwear, right? Even when one time my panty was missing, it was a new underwear. I said, oh, well, it's a new underwear. It ain't really touched my body, you know what I mean? I'm like, I don't know how they're going to get you with that one. That ain't new, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's all about when you do things that using energy. That's why you could tell somebody, listen, send something personal of yours, even like a piece of hair, a lock of hair. Send something and, you know, boom, 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 you know. And they want to know, well, oh, wow, you know, that's, you know, yeah, you just put the lock of hair in the envelope, you send it, bam, bam, bam. Next thing you know, you get out of jail. But I'm telling no secrets, but these are the things that, you know, when you use your energy, I'm just saying that we can use our energy in a very positive way to, you know, to make things manifest. You know, instead of focusing on, oh, somebody do this to me, somebody do that to me. And if you're going to use Obeah at all, right, do it as protection. Do it in a way that it was originally intended. Okay? This, let me say what? It's a force of resistance. What did Henry Hesket? It's Henry Hesket. Who it is there? This early Caribbean digital archive post here. Okay, the image was by Kelly Hart. And the guy, somebody named Ebenezer Morgan White, is who spoke about all the different things in quotations. Obeah is power, Obeah is belief. Obeah is an African tradition, a human tradition. Obeah is Egyptian. And, you know, I guess they did their research, but, you know, I feel it's Congo, you know, because of the language that is used in Obeah, even the language that I grew up with, okay? And I know, too, in Ghana, we have a lot of similarities of Caribbean people. We have a lot of similarities with how Ghanaians do, from the food even to certain expressions and certain things we say, like and, you know, like mm-hmm, and all this type of thing. And they mean things, you know, they mean a lot. So, you know, I wouldn't totally discount the Egyptian fact, you know. I mean, from my own experiences with the spiritual or with the supernatural, right, that I know that, you know, I have that Egyptian experience myself. I even have an Egyptian name, you know. It's a long name, but they have, you know, deep meaning, okay, you know. And, you know, I won't tell you how I get the name, but I do have the Egyptian name, you know. And it has very deep meaning and deep significance to me in my own, you know, revelations of my life and my destiny, you know, where what I experienced before and what I'm experiencing now, you know. So there's so much layers to us human beings. It's just magnificent. And it's so wonderful to be in this age that we're in right now, this spiritual age, because that's what the age of Aquarius is all about, in the spiritual age, and we're going to experience a lot of revelation of supernatural nature. A lot of things that are hidden will be revealed. You know, it is like how the ufologists say, the age of disclosure, where everything is going to be very transparent. You cannot hide anything anymore. So even the lies and everything, we're going to see through the lies, you know, all the lies that has been told to us. And one of the very, very important things that I have to mention, you know, before I close out this live and our show, is that the drive for the revelation of why the dark-skinned people are being called black people, and we're not black people. Okay, we're not black people. When you say you're black, you're admitting that you're a commodity. Okay, especially here in the United States and apparently around the whole world. You're a commodity. You're something to be used and disposed of. Okay, so you don't want to say that you're black ever. Okay, if you want to find your indigenous roots and claim your indigenous status, you can do that. And it's more important if you even say that you're white, because white counts when it comes to matters of commerce. White counts. Black do not count, meaning that you're not entitled to anything. Okay? And y'all know the famous thing that President Obama says. He didn't do anything else good. He surely said this when he informed the whole world that black has no standing at law. And I want to have my sister on, Yanatap, and Yasunya can come and really bust it down for y'all and let y'all know what time it is with that. Okay? Yanatap, and, you know, the person that's leading the forefront of this, change your status from black. You're not black. Okay, I know people have come like, oh yeah, come a long way with, yeah, I'm proud, I'm black, and la, 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 you know. But look at what black has gotten you in the societies that run away. In every race, I mean every group of people, every nation, they treat dark-skinned person as the underdog, okay? And it's time that changed. Now people are waking up to different things, you know. But I can't break it down. But the fourth person who's leading the forefront on a legal, quote-unquote, standpoint, from a legal standpoint, is the Chief Nunya. You know, I don't want to say, introduce him wrongly, but he's the head of he's the plenipotentiary and head of the Oxycontin Nation, right? Okay? That's his indigenous status. Okay, and we, you know, we got to get with the program, people. We got to get with the program. So I love having this talk with you all, and I hope y'all can join me again next week. And I hope I be able to set it up so Yanatat would be my guest on the live, on the show, and we can talk about this. I hope I can get Chief Nunya to be on as well, and we'll see. Okay? So that's slated for next week or in the next couple of weeks, depending on what their schedules are. All right? Love you all very much. Ashe. Thank you for being on. Thank you for enjoying this time and spending this time with me. I know you could have been doing something else. You know, I can't wait till the thing's done because, you know, you got some, and my daughter cooked some yummy food. Ooh. All right. Okay, buddy. Okay. Somebody trying to interrupt our call, but where video is finished. And thank you all. Thank you, Block Talk Radio people. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we're going to end with, who are we going to end with? Don't Gag Me by Fela Kuti. Ashe? All right.